It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
I feel like a locomotive sipping, drinking Arizona. Mixtape just around the corner. Did a lot in California. Can't wait to drop this, don't you? Yeah, they gon' have fun with that. Smash like song, and then my song's gon' break through like
a... Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast that is always up to speed with Formula One. It is Sunday, November 5th, 2023. Mark Daly here, flying solo once again because Mr. Mark Hamilton is finishing up the reno in his wonderful brand new living room. He's been quite busy with that for the past couple of weeks, and I was talking to him a little bit earlier, and it sounded like he was rushing to finish things off. I said, Hammy, don't worry about it. I've got this. Just finish up, get your reno done, and make it look good. I've seen some pictures. TV went up today. Looks absolutely fantastic. And we're going to christen that in just 2 weeks from now when we have a watch party for the inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix. Anyways, today we're going to just wrap up very quickly the sprint weekend at the Sao Paulo Grand Prix in Brazil over the past couple of days. It was a longer than usual weekend. It was another sprint weekend, and it was Max Verstappen winning out and out all weekend long. Again, Max winning the sprint race ahead of Lando Norris and Sergio Perez on Saturday afternoon, and then Max winning a record 17th Grand Prix on Sunday and leading home Lando Norris and Fernando Alonso, who pipped Sergio Perez right at the line. Under 5.5 hundredths of a second. If that finish line was just a couple of meters further away, Fernando would not have kept that P3. Very, very exciting last lap. Sergio Perez had taken P3, Fernando took it back, and they went at a hammer and tongs all the way around, and Fernando just holding on to keep that after retaking it about a third of the way around the final lap of the race. Very, very exciting stuff. There are a number of things to talk about in this one. Let's quickly just talk about qualifying. Qualifying on Friday, Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc were 1 and 2 on the starting grid. Lance Stroll, Fernando Alonso were row 2. Row 3 saw Lewis Hamilton and George Russell. The brightest spot in Mercedes weekend. What was that? That was it right then and there. Didn't really get much better afterwards for them, sadly. Lando and Carlos Sainz were on row 4. Row 5 was Sergio Perez and Oscar Piastri. On the starting grid for the sprint, it was Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc. Oh, pardon me, the sprint grid, looking at the wrong one again. Lando Norris and Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez and George Russell, row 2. Lewis Hamilton, Yuki Tsunoda, row 3. Row 4, Charles Leclerc and Daddy Ricciardo. Row 5, Carlos Sainz and Oscar Piastri. And of course, Friday was very, very exciting because the end of the session was actually canceled. There was this very, very horrible black mass that came in, this black cloud that looked extremely foreboding, and the rain came down like you wouldn't believe. There were some very frightening pictures that I saw circulating on social media where the roof on one of these temporary stands was actually blown off in the wind, but it was very nasty. And we've seen some very, very bad weather over there at Interlagos over the years, and where we've seen sessions red flagged and things like that, but that was quite unlike anything that we've ever seen. And I mean, I come from Vancouver, BC, and we get our fair share of dark skies and bad heavy rain like that. And that was about as good as anything that that I've seen around here at a place where I've lived most of my life. Anyways, let's talk a little bit more about the race itself. Where do we really go, right? Again, it wasn't... the wasn't most exciting weekend that we've seen. There was a little bit of hope, I guess, in qualifying where we saw Lando and, where we saw Charles, Lance Stroll right up there, Fernando Alonso qualifying in row two as well. Sergio Perez way down again. Boy, just can't seem to buy a break at the moment. So it looked like there was going to be some challenge there. You know, there was a lot of different teams in there, both Ferraris, both Aston Martins, both the Mercedes, one of the McLarens, and in P10, starting in P10 actually for the race itself. Oscar Piastri just behind Sergio Perez on row five. But it just wasn't meant to be. We had a very exciting start to the race where there's a lot of drama, where we had a crash involving Alex Albon and Kevin Magnussen. They were both knocked out right then and there. We had quite a long delay of about, 25 minutes or something like that before the race even started. But before we even got to that drama, going around for the formation lap, poor old Charles Leclerc crashes, puts it into the tire wall, and his weekend is all over and done with. And another one of those bizarre Ferrari things that it only just seems to happen to them. And just listening to Charles on the race radio, I can't help but feel sorry for the guy. He said something to the effect of, I can't believe my bleeping bad luck. And it's so crazy. Oh, actually, I got the exact quote right here in my notes. It says, quote, "I lost the hydraulics. Why the bleep am I so unlucky? Why the bleep am I so unlucky?" And I can't help but feel bad for Charles. I mean, he goes out there, gives it his all, and just can't catch a break. Ferrari did confirm the cause of that crash at Interlagos, and because after the race, Charles posted to his social channels that it hurts for him to have not taken part in the Sao Paulo Grand Prix at all. And Carlos Sainz's teammate was into the top six, and he had quite an active afternoon. Ferrari confirmed the reasons for it. They said during the formation lap, Charles experienced an issue with one of our car systems, which led to a loss of hydraulic supply, meaning he had no power steering and no gearbox command. Unfortunately, this meant there wasn't anything he could have done to control the car and avoid spinning into the wall. After three long weeks, we'll recharge and set our sights on a strong finish to the 2023 season. Well, you just can't help feel bad for Charles. You look at the picture that he posted to X. Says, disappointed to say the least, lost the power steering and the engine power in the formation lap. It hurts, and I bet it does. I mean, Charles is a very talented driver, and just can't seem to catch a break at all. Let's talk a little bit now about Helmut Marko over at Red Bull. I mean, what do you really say about Max Verstappen? I mean, he wins this one. What was the? Let's take a look at the race result. He was 8.5 seconds, 8.25 seconds ahead of Lando at the end of the day, who was another about 30 seconds up the road from Fernando Alonso and Sergio Perez. Max just cruising to another victory, a 17th win of the season, which is another record. And Mark and I talked about it a number of months ago now, that there was this whole list that Hammy had pulled together from somewhere that were all the different records that Max Verstappen could either tie or break before the end of the season. And he certainly has done that almost on a weekly basis. Every time we go off to another race, it seems that that Max has been able to do break one of these records or equal somebody's records, and some of them have really lasted for a very, very long time. There was a bit of scraps off the top of the race before things are really settled down, and when we take a look at where things are really ended up, of course some things were messed up a little bit because of the long delay and the restart. We lost a couple of cars. We lost three cars before the race even got serious, and before it was over, we ended up losing Joe Guan Yu, Valtteri Bottas, and George Russell. Oscar Piastri ended up two laps down. Danny Ricciardo was a lap down. They kind of ran into some technicalities after the restart and had to start from the pit lane. Then we also had Nico Hülkenberg, Logan Sargeant, and Esteban Ocon finishing a lap down, meaning only that the top nine cars finished finished on the lead lap and having six cars retire this afternoon for various reasons is something that we don't see very, very often nowadays. So it was a bit bizarre from many points of view. Anyways, I just wanted to talk a little bit now about an article written by Michelle Foster over at planetf1.com entitled Helmut Marko Pounces on Sergio Perez's Mistake in Fernando Alonso Fight. So of course, it was a very exciting for all of us to watch, and that's what we really wanted. I mean, Lando was never going to catch Max. Max was never going to put a wheel wrong. And, you know, if you're not cheering for Max or Red Bull, you have to be a little bit, you know, aware of the fact that that these cars and these power units, the Honda power units, that is, very rarely have a reliability issue. And it really is Max in control of his own destiny. He was doing, I would say, and not controversially, he's doing a substantially better job than Sergio Perez is. Sergio Perez did just lose out on third place to Fernando Alonso from Aston Martin by 0.053 seconds. And that is just the smallest of margins. It was very interesting too, because when I was watching the replay, it was hard to tell at the time because the producer was kind of flipping back between a couple of different feeds. There isn't really a camera that shows the start-finish line really close, and it was hard to tell. In real time, I must have watched it 10 or 12 times to see whereabouts where the race finish was. And also keeping in mind, it was a little bit dark by the time they crossed the finish line, took the checkered flag for this one. And it was very hard to see, but they did make some imagery available later on. And Sergio Perez's tire is level with, Fernando Alonso's, head where he's sitting in the cockpit of the car. So 0.053 of a second is a minute fraction. And like I say, I mean, if that finish line was a couple of meters, closer than, or further down the road, I should say, then Sergio Perez absolutely would have taken that third lap back. Helmut Marko from Red Bull was talking to Sky Deutschland after the race, and he was asked if Perez could have done anything different, at the end of the race in that battle he had with Fernando Alonso. And Marko said, quote, "In hindsight, you're smarter. The mistake was that he didn't come out of turn three properly. Then he just made a small move on the start finish straight on the way to turn one. Since Austin, the pace has been right both in qualifying the race. We now have a commanding lead over Hamilton of almost 30 points that should now work out for second place," end quote. He did mention that there was a couple of areas that Sergio could have done a little bit better that would have given him the advantage and possibly could have made a move to retake third place earlier on. But he did say that generally he was pleased with Perez's performance, as as I mentioned, that he's now extended his lead over Lewis Hamilton in the Drivers' Championship. Sergio's sitting in P2 at the moment and has a 34-point lead over Lewis Hamilton with only a couple of races left in the year. So it, it's interesting, right? I mean, we can't help but speculate what's going to happen on all these little things that we sort of tick into maybe like the cons column. We've got pros and cons. If you're Helmut Marko and Christian Horner wondering what you're going to do about Sergio Perez, that you have to wonder, how is that list working? Anyways, there was some quotes after the race. Fernando said after the race was over, quote, "For me, it was like 30 laps that I had the pressure from Checo, but when he passed me two laps to the end, I thought, okay, this is gone. The podium is not possible anymore. But he braked a little late into turn one, and I said, okay, go for it into turn four. This is a phenomenal result for the team," end quote. Compared to the quote from Sergio Perez, who said after the race, quote, "We tried and gave it everything. Unfortunately, it wasn't successful. It was the same for Fernando. We had a great duel, and it was fair up to the limit. That's something younger drivers can learn from the way that we fought. That's how it should be done. I was on the worst side and lost in the end. It was a great fight, though, and it absolutely was very, very exciting to see that happen. And both of those drivers really fighting to the limit and keeping it clean. And I couldn't help but think, because they showed it at the start of the race, when they show some of these flashbacks from earlier years, you had the incident from 2018 when Max had, was leading the race and went to go and lap Esteban Ocon, and Ocon tried to unlap himself in going into turn two and three there and took out Max Verstappen. And then, you know, that was like afterwards, you know, Max really lost his cool, and there was, you know, some video taken of him, you know, shoving Esteban Ocon around. And Esteban, yeah, he made some news this weekend as well, because, you know, going through that same corner, he lost a little bit and collided with Fernando Alonso, who appeared for the most part trying to stay to the you know, to the far outside of the track to give enough room to Esteban Ocon. Ocon does crash out of the sprint shootout, but miraculously his mechanics and his team were able to put his car back together for the sprint race. But that was quite a bizarre moment, and I couldn't help but think there was a little bit of irony in the way that where that happened and how it happened, and Esteban Ocon's history with that series of corners in the past there, going back to 2018. Let's look at some of the other cars, other teams. But actually, before I do that, this is going to be a pretty short show this week. Not too many, you know, things to go over at this point of the season. I mean, there's no championship implications other than for seconds and there on else for the drivers and the constructors championship. So we'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm going to take a very quick time out to hear a message from our sponsor. So don't go away. I'll be back in a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's talk in a little bit now about Mercedes. That was pretty horrible, wasn't it? Another weekend for Mercedes. Let's, before I talk about some of the things that Lewis Hamilton had to say, Toto Wolff after the race said that, you know, he feels sorry for Lewis Hamilton and George Russell having to drive Mercedes, quote unquote, miserable Formula One cars after we called an inexcusable performance at the Brazilian Grand Prix at this weekend, over the course of this weekend. So their pace just deteriorated over the course of the race. The early stop that they tried to try and get to the next two stints that longer than the W14 could cope with, and they just really sort of slid down the order towards the bottom of the top 10. Hamilton eventually ended, finished P8. He was passed by Pierre Gasly and the Alcon that made it look, by Pierre Gasly, who made it look really, really easy, and then just appeared up the road. George Russell retired with a dozen laps to go with an overheating engine, and well, and even that that point looked like he was fading away, was going to drop out of the points altogether. Toto Wolff, the team principal from Mercedes, he didn't look too happy afterwards. He looked pretty upset. I saw one article on motorsport.com today who described Toto's appearance in the paddock after the race as shell-shocked, and completely describes how it was. I mean, it wasn't that he wasn't happy. It was just like this complete look of disbelief on Toto's face. Anyways, the team principal of Mercedes had to say the following to Sky Sports F1, quote, inexcusable performance. There are even no words for that. The car finished second last week and the week before, and whatever we did to it was horrible. Lewis survived out there, but George, I can only feel for the two driving such a miserable thing. It shows how difficult the car is. It's on a knife's edge. We've got to develop that better for next year, because it can't be within that 7 days you're finishing on the podium with probably one of the two quickest cars and then finish eighth. I think straight line speed was one issue, but probably not the main factor. The main factor was that we couldn't go around the corners with a bigger wing with the pace we needed, and we were killing the tires, just eating them up within a few laps. We are clearly not the world champions on the sprint race weekends. We do some good works here on track to get it done, but still it doesn't explain what went wrong. I mean, the car almost drove on three wheels and not four. End quote. And he goes on to talk about George Russell's retirement, saying, quote, George's issue was the power unit at the end. We were all over the metrics on cooling. I think it was the last rate of the PU, but that is what it is. I'm not sure if we would have finished with the point or not, end quote. So a very dire description from Toto Wolff there, very sobering, and obviously I think he's pretty upset about that. What's the point of ranting? That's not really going to help at the moment, and I don't really know what the problem is. Lewis Hamilton was asked about it after the race as well. Lewis had to say, quote, my guess is the floor is not working. The floor is not sucking it down, so it pushed us to go to a higher wing, and they were just massively draggy on the straights, and we're losing so much time on the straights. There's nothing I can do about it. And then we're just sliding through the corners. So we have to look into why that is the case on this rough circuit. Just the tires are overheating, slow on the straights, no grip in the corners, end quote. Pretty difficult. Lewis was asked a little bit, to answer. He was asked for some of his thoughts on Red Bull. He said, quote, I think ultimately all I can do is try to remain optimistic. The Red Bull, I think, is so far away. I think they're probably going to be clear for the next couple of years, end quote. So for any of you that are hoping to see a resurgence of a Mercedes or Ferrari or, Aston Martin or McLaren, maybe there are hope at the moment, if you're hoping at least for somebody to catch up with Max Verstappen and try and give him a run for his money. But it doesn't sound like that. Certainly Lewis is very, very not very positive about the possibilities of getting back in touch with Red Bull anytime soon. So something interesting too, and I didn't really pick up on it. I noticed it happen after the race, and just the volumes of people on the track after the race was over. And I thought at the time it was a little bit peculiar, a little bit strange. I thought, geez, there's a lot of people out there on the track making their way around to the podium celebrations. But the FIA are not very happy about that. So they've summoned the race organizers to a report to the stewards after the track invasion before the conclusion of the race. So spectators got their way onto the circuit while the race was still classed as being live. So stakeholders have set an agreed time at which the gates will be open to let fans onto the track. And there was tens of thousands of them going straight for that. Motorsport.com, in an article that was written by Matt Q, did a little bit of digging, and Matt found out, they believe that many fans climbed over the safety fences, and that just prevented the circuit officials prevented them from keeping a control of the situation. I mean, if they have gates and things like that where they can control the release of people onto the circuit, then certainly that's a little bit of a different story. But if people are kind of doing their own thing and going around, jumping jumping over fences, there's not a lot they can do. So there was, it was a, another record-breaking crowd. Seems like we have one of those each and every weekend nowadays. But, you know, 267,000 people were at Interlagos this past weekend. And what are they supposed to do if some of them are trying to, you know, do what they're not to do and then run around to the podium? Of course, everybody wants to go and see that and take part in it. It's a big fun, but, you know, very, very, you know, concerning, because the FIA had the following to say, quote, security measures and the protocols which were expected to be in place for the event were not enforced, resulting in an unsafe environment for the spectators, drivers, and race officials. So there you go. They're going to be, you know, summoned to the stewards. They're going to have an investigation, and we'll see what happens afterwards. So, people were climbing over the fences. The people were like, there was a review of CCTV evidence, and you know, there were interviews with the race organizers, and the FIA you know, ruled that any measures that were not enforced or not sufficient resulted in an unsafe environment. The FIA also noted, quote, organizers candidly admitted the failures in terms of security protocols and safety measures. They concurred with the FIA supporting delegate and the race director report and agreed that comparable circumstances already occurred in Brazil, and this was an unacceptable situation which could have led to disastrous consequences, end quote. So this is very similar to the end of the Australian Grand Prix this year, when Nico Hülkenberg was still on the track in an unsafe condition because having you know, there was a possible electrical discharge. So Brazilian Grand Prix officials must conduct a thorough investigation and you know, put some new safety and you know, measures in in place for 2024, because we're going to be around at Interlagos for many, many years before or to come. So by the 30th of January of 2024, race organizers must present a formal remediation plan to the FIA that adequately addresses the serious concerns. So the stewards have asked the FIA to review the measures that the race organizers have agreed to, and the World Motorsport Council can apply further penalties if they believe that is the case. This is for the Austrian or Australian Grand Prix, and also the remedial plan. So, you know, it is a dangerous situation. So, you know, they've certainly got some work to do there, but I don't know what they can really do if people decide to circumvent any safety measures and just to kind of do their own thing there. Just wanted to address a couple more things. I just want to go back and talk about you know, Sergio Perez and Fernando Alonso, because that was a pretty good fight. You know, hopefully we'll see more of that you know, before the season is over, the last couple of races, because you know, these are the sorts of things that that keep us a little bit excited and interested when the championships are all wrapped up. And this is basically, well, for lack of a better term, garbage time. Anyways, Sergio Perez after the race did say, quote, it took me a while to get through the Mercedes, and basically that just damaged my race. After that, we were always a little bit on the back foot with Fernando, and we were chipping away towards the end. We came really close to get the podium, but I have to say well done to Fernando, because it was a great fight, very fair racing, and that's really good, because how hard we race each other with always a lot of room. I think with very few drivers you can do this on the grid. You know that Fernando will always try to play any game, but he will always be fair. It was great racing. I think whoever got the podium was well deserved, and he got it. I don't think I could have done anything differently. I would have liked to have been on the podium. It hurts losing, but I'm happy for Fernando because he did a good race, end quote. You know, it's yeah, I mean, what more do you have to say? Anyways, Sergio did have a couple more things to say. He was asked a little bit about the Turn 1 crash he had at Mexico last week, and then losing the podium at Sao Paulo this afternoon. He did feel that he's finally starting to get things back on track and kind of turn a corner, so to speak, after a bit of a disastrous run of luck that he had prior to that last couple of weekends. So when he was asked about that run of confidence, you know, draining incidents and just the fact that things might be going his way. He said, quote, definitely, I think after Qatar, when I went back to the team in Milton Keynes, we understood a lot of things we were doing wrong. In Austin, we were compromised a bit, but since then, even Mexico was quite good. I went off, but I was very close to the lead. So all in all, I think we are making really good progress. The pace has been there for the last few weekends, but for some reason or another, we haven't been able to put it all together. I think it's just a matter of time before it will come. End quote. So we'll just add a couple more things from notes from Fernando Alonso. Just before to wrap this one up, Fernando had to say, quote, for me, it was like 30 laps. I had the pressure from Checo, but when he passed me with two laps to the end, I thought, okay, this is gone. The podium is not possible anymore. But he braked a little bit late into turn one. I said, okay, let's go for it to turn four, end quote. Sorry, that was the same quote I read a little bit earlier. I wanted the other one here Fernando was just talking about what he called a phenomenal result. And he had the following to say, quote, this is a phenomenal result for the team. We've been struggling for a couple of months already, especially the last two events with the two retirements. So this podium is for them, for everyone in the factory, and we keep fighting until the last lap. Obviously, we're still learning about the car. These cars are so complex aerodynamically. We've been experimenting a little bit to find direction for the next year without forgetting that we're still competing this year. So I'm happy with the results, end quote. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Like I said, not a lot to really add at this point. Just go over really quickly the standings in both the Drivers and Constructors Championship. Max Verstappen, 524 points. Sergio Perez, second in the Drivers Championship with 258. Lewis Hamilton, 226. Fernando Alonso, 198. Lando Norris is fifth with 195. Rounding out the top 10, you have Carlos Sainz, Charles Leclerc, George Russell, Oscar Piastri, and Lance Stroll, who's currently occupies 10th in the Drivers' Championship. Over on the Constructors' side, you have Red Bull, 782 points. Mercedes, 382 points. 400 points behind. Amazing. That is absolutely amazing. We see the amount of points that Red Bull have racked up all season long, that it tallies up to that much. Mercedes only has a 20-point lead over Ferrari in the Constructors. The Scuderia has 362. McLaren, 282, and Aston Martin 261. And I go back and just think about that quote I read from Fernando just a few moments ago. Boy, has it ever been a tough spell from them. I mean, if you look where they were just a couple of months ago going into the summer break and where they are now, how they've toppled from second in the Constructors all the way down to fifth, and they're going to keep it because obviously Alpine is not going to close that gap from 108 to 261 points with the last couple of races to go. But I mean, they really did hit rock bottom by sliding out of the way that they went. But some interesting couple of quotes there from Fernando Alonso to add a little bit of context to it. Anyways, nothing further to add to this one. Going to wrap it up right there. Thank you all very much for listening to this abbreviated edition of the podcast tonight. If you want to get in touch, drop us a slide into our DMs on X at @ScuderiaF1Pod. Send us email scuderiaf1pod@gmail.com. Mark will be back with a special guest co-host this week, and then he's got a special pod dropping next weekend. And of course, by the time we hit the streets, when we're on the strip in Vegas a couple of weeks from now, we will be watching it live at Mr. Mark Hamilton's house for our first ever watch party. Very much looking forward to that. And looking forward to the last couple of races of the season. I know that keep talking about how everything is over, but it's still better than the alternative, and that alternative is no Formula One. But now that I look and, November 5th, wow, that has come very, very quickly, realizing that there's only 7 weeks left in the year 2023. And it's been a nice year, personally speaking. It's been a lot of tough work and a lot of things going on, but I really can't believe that the lights are starting to dim a little bit on this year. It 2024 is starting to peak at us, so just over the crest of the hill here, and before you know it, we'll be into the new year, and that will be a new season. And of course, we'll be here to bring you all the action, not only for the rest of this season, but next season and beyond. But that's it for now. Have a great week, guys. Look forward to talking to you again very, very soon. And that's a wrap. Have a good week. Bye for now.